King Island is renowned for its beef production, but a new study has found that much of the island is deficient in certain micronutrients such as copper and cobalt. Max Weidenbach has done the first broad-scale soil testing on the island since 1932.
The main aim of it was to create micronutrient maps for the entire island, so looking at on a whole island scale. So previously, the majority of micronutrient research in Australia is done on like a single property level, and even more so, a lot of it's done just within a single paddock. So really trying to look at things from a much larger perspective. It's the first time anyone's looked at micronutrients on this sort of scale in Tassie, and it's the first time it's been done in Australia looking at more than one micronutrient. So we went out there and took a heap of soil samples across the island, sort of trying to get as much coverage as we could for the 8 days that we were there. It was about 124 soil sampling sites over about 14 properties, covering a pretty large area of the island. And from that, we were able to generate maps for boron, copper, cobalt, manganese, and zinc. We found that copper is deficient, or what would be classed as deficient, over around half the island. Manganese is deficient over around 20% of the island, and cobalt is deficient at over nearly 95% of the island.
How does that affect pasture growth and other agricultural pursuits?
So copper and cobalt are really important micronutrients for livestock health. So cobalt's important for livestock fertility, weight gain, keeping the productivity level up. Copper is also important for weight gain and health and fertility, but really low copper levels can also cause problems with bone formation in calves and calving issues. Manganese is really important for plant growth and development. So inadequate manganese can result in sort of poor pasture performance. And then cobalt is also important for pastures as well. Cobalt's an important micronutrient for nodule formation in legumes, and also legume nitrogen fixation performance and growth and health.
Do you have any idea why these soils are so lacking in these aspects?
Well, King Island's quite a high rainfall area, and the soils there are quite sandy, so they have a lot of trouble holding nutrients within the soil. They're quite prone to leaching in the topsoil part, sort of the top 10 centimetres of the soil. So a lot of those nutrients are just getting, they're just getting washed out. Also high wind, so because it's quite sandy, they're prone to wind erosion, so wind carrying nutrients away. Also, a lot of the soils are quite acidic, so low pH, and to rectify that, a lot of the producers are putting lime on, and lime has a potential to bind up nutrients in the soil, so that lime could also be binding up the micronutrients that are there already and preventing them from being able to be utilised by plants and the livestock grazing.
And that leads into my next question: what can the farmers do now that they know this information?
Well, a lot of the farmers are already aware of some of the issues that they're having. Previously, they haven't been aware about how it's affecting the island itself. They've just been aware of what's happening on their properties. Common treatments include sort of B12 injections for cobalt, copper sulfate additives for water troughs, also feed boluses, which contain a range of micronutrients that they can use to help improve the nutrition of livestock, other supplementary feeds. There's also the option of actually fertilising the soil itself as opposed to treating the livestock, but there's not really much work that's been done on whether that would actually help, and if it would, what would the sort of feasibility be around that with costs and practicality. So there's still sort of some areas needing a bit further research to try and understand what exactly is the best way to treat the deficiencies they've got there, whether it is to continue with that direct to livestock sort of treatment, or whether it'd be worthwhile looking at sort of targeting before it reaches that point.
And these large scale mapping, what's the benefit of doing a large scale area?
Well, first of all, it gives you a really good idea of what's happening over the island. So you can look at, if you've got whole regions, you can sort of work out what's likely to affect you, your neighbours. It's also really useful for understanding what's likely to be going on in your area. You can determine if you need to do more soil testing to work out if you are actually likely to have a problem on your property that you might not have been aware about earlier. They're really useful for working out what would be potential other enterprises you might be wanting to do. So say if you want to diversify into cropping or other livestock sort of systems, then it can help inform that decision. There also is just such a large gap of knowledge in the area that any sort of information we can get on what's happening is useful in the broad spectrum of things as well.
Did the results surprise many of the farmers on King Island?
I think it did. As I said, a lot of people were aware of issues they had on their own properties. I don't think people expected it to be such a widespread issue. The last sort of comprehensive soil work that's been done on King Island was done in 1932 by Stevens and Hosking, and they already noticed that people were reporting issues with livestock doing quite poorly in certain regions of the island, and they linked it to the soils, and they suspected there was a nutrient issue in the soil, but they weren't able with the scientific technology at the time to identify what the cause of that was. So it's really helped us to get an idea of what's actually going on, as opposed to just people reporting things that they're seeing, which is also very useful. But now we're able to sort of create a picture of the entire island and work out what's actually happening and get a picture of what the scope and the impact of these nutrient deficiencies is actually having on the sort of local industry.
And you presented your findings at the Australian Institute of Agriculture last week. How did that go?
It went really well. I took second place out of five different presentations from different states. The quality of presentation there was super high. The people that came had great presentations. They'd done really top-notch research with some really interesting stuff being discovered. I was really stoked to place as highly as I did against the level of competition, and I'd just like to congratulate all the people that took part, and particularly Stephanie McKillop from New South Wales, who took out first place. She had a fantastic project looking at using maggot larvae to replace fish meal in livestock feed. So really interesting project that could have some pretty big impacts on sort of a lot of different industries. So it's just a really high level of competition, and yeah, it went really well, and I'm really happy with how I did.
That's Max Swedenbeck from the Tasmanian Institute of Agriculture talking there to Hugh Hogan about soil testing on King Island and his presentation at the Nationals.